10 years ago, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Baltimore Underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as lawyers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire Rice, Murtha, and Pesaurus. When you've been wrong, you don't deserve a second best. You don't deserve the B team. You deserve the very best. You deserve the A team. Rice, Murtha, and Pesaurus. RiceLawMD.com. I love it when a plan comes together.
This is the DLP Agenda.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I put my entire goddamn foot in my mouth. So, an apology is in order to those in the chat tonight waiting for the chat to refresh. I don't know what's going on. Every now and then I'll log into YouTube. And DLP Agenda, by the way, followed but not followed enough. So if you're in the chat tonight, thank you. If you comment on the videos, double thank you. If you like them, triple thank you. That helps get the algorithm out there, let everybody know that we're doing the damn thing. I got to apologize to a friend of the program. I got a little fucking lippy this week, and it's 100% your fault, Joe.
I'm always in to blame Joe.
By the way, I know what he's going to apologize for. I want to know if Rob can come up with the name.
Yeah, you know what? Watch him. Watch him like that. Kenny, the Strangle Chef, not happy with me right now. He has no reason to be. I got a little lippy.
Are you in the wrong here?
Yes.
Well, I guess that would be why you're 100%. Apologizing.
No. Yeah. There's no. Oh, you saw it the wrong way. No, I was just a prick.
I pulled the audio.
And not the first time. Thanks, man. And
he's actually upstairs right now.
Yeah, he's right over there.
Yeah.
Do you know why they call him?
Yes, Katie hostage.
Awesome. Do you know why they call him the Strangle Chef? It's an interesting name.
Because the way he just strangles the flavor out of that food.
Oh, yeah.
And into your mouth.
He puts that T-bone steak in a rear naked choke. Yeah. No, he's an accomplished chef and like jiu-jitsu black belt.
Oh, nice. Way to piss him off.
That's the person that I don't want to piss off.
Kill you with his hands or poison you with
his
food.
Wow, this fish tastes like cum, and I'm being choked.
I was trying to think of an old WWF announcer that worked with Jesse the Body, and I was like, what's his name? He's bald. He had
Gorilla Monsoon?
No, it was
one of the ones I suggested.
Was at one of the desks where they commented on that.
I went with Paul Heyman too soon.
In between.
Mean Gene Okerlund.
That's exactly the one right, yeah. I could not pull Mean Gene.
God bless him.
For whatever reason, I couldn't make the Mean Gene pull. I just had a brain fart.
The nicest guy in the world.
By the way,
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Mean Gene Okerlund, sweetheart.
Yeah, Mean Joe Green, total ass.
Total prick. But wrestling fans are a passionate sort.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, the same people that celebrate me talking about wrestling compared to 99% of the audience who want me to fucking put my head in a waffle iron when I bring up a Ric Flair promo. Yeah. They start getting in on me.
Yeah.
And
Justin wasn't in the mood, I guess.
Well, you know what? One or two, fine. I start getting texts from friends to my fucking phone.
You idiot.
You fucking moron. I'm disappointed in you. You dipshit. And I got texts to my phone. I started getting messages on Twitter. I start getting DMs on fucking Instagram.
Hey, and I got up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And Kenny was the unfortunately
Kenny
bad timing.
Drew the short straw. And by the way, of all the messages I got from people, this was the nicest.
it was the order of which.
It was not his fault at
the straw
all.
That broke the camel.
But I have this fucking tantrum.
But he's never going to hear this because he's never going to listen again.
No, he might have. Well, he definitely unfollowed me.
He did?
Yeah, he unfollowed JSS. He still follows both of you and the Bussy Boys.
Oh, well, then we're fine.
Thank God.
No, I've been excommunicated.
Okay.
But this dude's come to like so many shows.
Yeah.
He came to Vibe. We're going to talk about your show. Right. He came to mine there.
Well, you know what? You have the floor to apologize.
Kenny, I gave Kenny, and he wrote me this very long message. I showed you guys. I'm like, dude, I fucked up. Check this out.
Yeah. The beginning of it was like, hey, man, I'm this. And at the end, he's like, basically, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, which, I mean, I should go fuck myself after. I was yelling like, stop DMing me, at me, and something like that. And it wasn't great. I was acting pissy. It's 1,000% on me. And I gave him my number. I'm like, dude, call me. Please.
Did he call?
No. Didn't call. Didn't text.
Well, this apology should work.
You've
been getting a lot of dick pics suddenly.
I was like, wait a minute, where's that? That dick is wearing a jiu-jitsu gi. That's a black belt on a black dick.
The strangle cock.
Yes, Kenny the strangle cock, choking me out with his dick. So Kenny, if you somehow hear this, I am so in the wrong. You are in the right. You've been nothing but supportive for like a decade. Mm-hmm. And support them. You tell me to go fuck myself. I deserve to.
And Kenny, Justin, this isn't just for the show. He texted us. He's legitimately
felt bad.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like I lost a friend because I did. And sorry,
and
that's happened.
Let's
to
be honest. Hey, you can't afford to lose anymore.
Speaking of pissing people off that you love.
Oh,
so you know, what was it, a month ago?
He's already at a best. He's feeling sensitive.
This is me.
Okay. This isn't what I need right now.
This is me.
All right.
So,
real quick, I'm sorry to cut you off. There's going to be another person that I upset next week on Patreon.
Oh, geez.
You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a big one.
I am swinging and whiffing. Schlegel's 0-2 this week.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Wait for next Patreon, please.
So, but last week, I thought that the mail went to the wrong house because I got my other neighbor. So I text Randolph, hey, did you send this? Not like, where's my money? Randolph Rice, by the way, our sponsor, we saw him Wednesday.
Right?
We love
him.
He sent me this big, long email about where to go in New Orleans. I mean, I love the guy, right?
Yeah, he's the patron. He's the reason we have his goddamn photo right there. I'm wearing the shirt that he bought and all of you did get into it.
Well, speaking of that, he sends me a text today. I forgot to respond, by the way. And he goes, hey, check went out today. I'm like, no, dude, I wasn't. I know you're good for it.
Yes.
Okay?
I would like every month you to tell me when it
thought that the neighbor got the anyway.
You mean the guy with the six-figure boat's good
right,
for
exactly.
it? Right,
exactly. I know he's good for the
good
pittance
for
that he gives us.
The guy that's won tens of millions of dollars in settlements for his clients is good
for it. Yes, I know. So, Randolph, I love you. You can keep sending them, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. But it's not required. I know the check is in the mail.
What would we honestly do if he didn't send the check?
I would do nothing.
Nothing.
Like, he could just stop sending, and then we would never say anything.
Yeah, he doesn't know. If he stopped paying today, to your point, we continue to put his ads in forever.
We would. We totally would.
He doesn't pay for a year. We still do it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
For 5 years.
Well, no, we start making the ads about like
him not paying.
You can sue. Yes.
I need his friendship.
Yes.
Yeah.
I almost good radio if he stops paying.
If he stops paying, don't give us good radio.
Yes.
No, that's bad.
Bad radio.
Give us bad radio. I want bad radio.
2 years?
Yeah.
All right.
And you know what else he is?
Go after 2 years?
I think two is like, okay.
Right now we're going
to just start giving shitty ads.
Yeah.
It's
Uncle Ben's
ricelaw.corn.
Yeah.
RiceLawIowa.org.
But a few months, he's got nothing to worry about, right? A few months and nothing.
No. His money is absolutely good. We'll mispronounce the name of the place and all that, but yeah, it's, you know, I mean, what the hell? We'll call it Rice Gertha and Pesaurus or something.
Right. Ariel says Joe's been killing it on JSS.
Yeah, you've been doing a great job. Yeah. All right.
And then Mac Burks has said, any subject that isn't about Joe, I'm all in for.
Good to have you back, Mac. We need to get Mac a t-shirt. We got to get Dave Dennis, who was the designer. We need to get him a t-shirt.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You know what else Randolph is?
Yes.
Randolph, when he joined us on JSS, has joined us down here. He will again. We're going to join him this year in Ocean City. He's a great guest.
Oh, yeah, he sends you this whole dossier.
He sends us this absolute document. He does the work for us.
Shit that we've never done for our own show.
Ever. This is a fucking paper towel, okay? This will be cummed in. This will not be written on. He is a great guest. He shows up at 98. He calls into 98. He hangs out in the sofa. He waits for Joe or Kobe. There are producers on Justin Scott and Spiegel. Someone comes over, says, Mr. Rice, would you like a coffee or water? Oh, no, I've got my own. As a matter of fact, I brought all of you coffee. I brought you champagne. You've all got new Hyundai Sonatas.
What
They're
a
all
gentleman.
Waiting up. Here's a key. Here's a key. So he's easy, man.
He's also easy to like.
And to look at.
We recently had a guest. That was not.
Okay.
Where, listen, the guy ended up being nice, okay? But we had a dude up recently. Did you hear? And again, not a bad guy.
Okay.
But a kind of a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the dude that we had on, the bug entomologist, talking about this cicada brood?
No, and as a matter of fact,
the bug guy was weird.
The reason that you know I didn't hear this is because I almost did the story today.
You talked about,
okay,
should I talk about this cicada brood? It's for the first time in 200 years. They're going to slam into each other.
And they're like, we've been talking about
it. We're good. So he is slated to be on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he's
gregarious, and he's got a bunch of examples, and he brought in a bunch of cicadas. I'm going to guess late 50s, early 60s.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's the bug guy. He's got a great YouTube channel, all that. But he was going to be on in the 8 o'clock hour for an 8:45 interview. What time does he get there?
7 o'clock.
6:15. He walks in. And he is...
Does he have a big tray of bugs?
He's got a thing full of bugs.
Of all the... That's so early to have to get up. It's not like it's at 4 p.m. and he got there at 2:30.
It's shockingly early.
Did you move things around so you could get...
No.
So he just sat where? The jock lounge?
Oh, that's the next thing. He didn't sit. He just starts roaming the halls. Big Dan, the main man, the president of Hearst. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, he just so happens to come upstairs and visit his radio property.
Mm-hmm.
Television's downstairs, take priority, as it should. But every now and then, the emperor walks upstairs, takes a look at our progress, tip of the Stetson, heads back downstairs. This guy looked a little wide-eyed. Who was the insane, wide-eyed Jonestown preacher, the guy? There's like clips of him online.
Oh, yeah. I do know. Is he the Heaven's Gate guy?
Like the fucking Heaven's Gate preacher.
It's not a good look.
It's a look, yeah.
It's a look. Yeah. And the look is, I haven't blinked in three presidents. And he's
By the way, there's nothing. You're the floor the radio station is on. There's nothing going
there's
on.
There's nothing.
It's very boring.
It's a big square. Yes, you just are walking around.
It's awful. If you're there 5 minutes early, you're bored with 3 minutes left.
So this dude just starts wandering around. And he's like wandering. He's just like looking in the window to the studio and just like staring. And you could hear us in the hallway through the PA system. He starts chiming in on the breaks from outside the studio. We can see him talking, going... He's mouthing
I like him.
All right. And then here comes Dan.
Are you guys commenting on it?
We're like off the air. Like,
oh, off the air you are. On the air, I'd be like, hey, we have a guest here.
They don't know what's happening and we can't comment on it because no one can see it. You can't see him on LiveWire. So it's just fucking odd. And we're like, Kobe, Joe, wrangle this fucking guy and go sit him down. They do. They go back to their workstations. He fucking gets back up.
Sometimes you got to stretch the legs.
He decided to stretch the legs and go and show the man that has all of our fate in his hands his tray full of bugs.
Oh, God.
And Dan's like, awesome. Hey, Joe, any chance you can get Bugman over here a cup of coffee and get him comfortable? Sits him back down. We'll be with you in an hour, sir.
God.
He sits back down. Dan goes back downstairs. Joe goes back to audio.
He's not on his phone or doing anything?
We're fucking talking. Pops his head in the studio. We're like, what? Fucking go.
This is the on-air light on?
Couldn't be brighter. Couldn't be brighter. We're like, dude, you got to go.
How's
sit.
It going in here, guys?
Hey, fellas. And finally.
Didn't mean to bug you.
Hey. Finally, we bring him in. We're like, man, you sure you got here early today, bud. I love it. Early's on time and on time is late. He's like, yeah, I thought I could join you for the show. You just thought you'd just fucking be here for 3 hours? Like, he was like, yeah, I got here early. Put me on.
So.
No.
Now, eventually he did get
eventually
on.
Came on and did great.
Now, hold on. Did you address what time he got there?
No.
You
didn't
do that.
Seem, well, we said something very briefly, like, this guy's been here for a while now. He's so eager to talk about bugs. And once you got him talking, kick back and put your feet up.
That was it.
That was it. You ever heard us interview Gene Simmons? We've interviewed him once.
One question.
That's it. It was one question, 15-minute TED Talk. Yeah. This guy was actually interesting, but it was like we had to have a fucking talk with our people afterwards. Like, listen, one of you might need to go sit with him or somebody because we get like Street Bike Tommy from Good Boy Vodka, Travis Pastrana, famous comedians, musicians. They plan it in the guest area and they wait to be called on.
Yeah.
This dude's like, I'm going to fucking explore, man. And we can't have that. In a multimedia center with open mics, hot cameras, hot mics, news reporting, other guests. Sometimes we have the governor, we have the mayor, Secret Service is in there, or their version of Secret Service. So yeah, there was a there was a hard talk with the fellas.
I have a feeling he wasn't physically threatening though, right?
No, but neither was the dude that shot homie from the Beatles. I mean,
yeah, that's like, true. You're right. Yes.
I mean, yeah, there was
David Chet.
Lennon. The guy that off Lennon. Also, you're like, oh, Dana White's going to put him in the octagon. No,
well, you should have him on again. Just to have a side bet what time he'll get there.
Yeah,
because that would be entertaining.
Bring him on. We'll book
Mark David Chapman.
Book him at
Mark
five.
David Chapman.
Book him at 5:30 a.m. See if
yeah,
he gets there during
the Kirk and Marianne shift the day before.
Yeah, have him on. But, yeah. but then, by the way, yeah. he was on. Fucking fascinating. Like, the boss loved him. Listeners loved him. I think Ariel was even like, oh, my God, you got to have this fucking guy back on. Yeah, he was an interesting guy. But, yes, there's a we're looking for a room to sequester people into now. They can't just be floating out there. Which, side note, speaking of Dan, speeding of the waiting room area.
Yeah.
So at the station, we've got this area. It's two couches. It looks like a casting couch thing outside of some crying runaway and a guy with a VHS camera.
No magazines or anything.
No, it's not a lot like, all right, let's get a look at that butthole. It looks like a casting couch.
Yeah.
Dan, who might have had a spirit or two at the Spring Thing concert, pulls me aside on Friday night. And he goes, hey, I got a project for you. I go, anything you need, sir. And he goes, that area upstairs, it's a little dry. I want to do something to it. You have an arcade at home, right?
Oh, my God.
Yes,
oh.
I do. He goes, would you build one there? I reached for his belt buckle in a play to try and pull his $2,000 Italian silk pants to the floor. He is going to give me a budget.
A budget to put.
To put. He wants me to build an arcade similar to the one that I have.
What? You have
in there. I have
15 machines, right?
21.
21.
And you figured out the machines, the games you're going to pick?
It's funny you should ask. He has some requirements. He's like, get what you think we can do for under a specific amount of money.
Okay, how many games?
$50,000.
You have 50K. No, it's not that. But it's not an insignificant amount of money. But he goes, I need Golden Tee.
I was going to say that.
Golden
Tee. He's a golfer.
And another classic arcade game. And I'll even give you a hint. We talked about this a long time ago on Dork Dynasty. It's considered to be the first video game ever to use licensed music. Music they needed the license from the original
rights. I was going to guess Pole Position, but I don't know if there's licensed music.
You're close.
Okay.
Really?
Please.
So it's a driving game.
Continue.
Gran Turismo.
No. This is classic. It's a game. Classic arcade what, game. Throw a quarter in an arcade game.
I'm trying to think of a
I would not be surprised if you in your teenage years probably played this in an arcade.
Knight Rider.
Both of you are
Knight Driver.
In.
Knight Driver. That was an Atari game.
Knight
Tron?
No. Stick with the driving. You came close. Both of you with the driving.
I can't think of any driving games.
Do I know it?
Yes. The minute I say it, you'll know it. At least I'd hope.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
Go ahead.
I wouldn't put it in the A tier Pac-Man.
Okay, but he wanted
Super
it.
Mario. He's like, if you
no get, one in chat is guessing, so
if,
I don't know.
If you build this, I will come. He wants this one unit up there. An Arcade 1-Up, the company I buy my stuff from, they don't make it, but I have a guy that can
Need
put it on a unit.
Speed?
No, this is like an old, like Centipede.
So I don't think
Defender,
I'm going to get it.
Defender, Galaga.
Galaga. Rampage.
That's my,
Jungle
that's,
Hunt.
That's one I know.
Yeah. Something like that. Something.
But I can't think of a driving
Outrun,
game.
Something like that.
Is that what it's out?
No. Spy Hunter.
Spy Hunter, I do remember.
I remember
Spy
the
Hunter.
Name, but I don't remember. I remember
Peter Gunn.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have,
you know,
Spy
why
Hunter, and are you gonna have
Spy Hunter, Golden Tee, and then whatever money left over, fucking go nuts.
But Spy Hunter, can't you get that with other, like, can't you?
Yes.
Get it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got a guy that can build the thing using an existing unit, but he's like, if you get me Spy Hunter and Golden Tee, I'm gonna give you that much right there. I'm gonna give you that much. I'm gonna give you that.
Okay.
And that's it. And I'm gonna put some shit up there. Like, he's giving me a project. He's by the end of summer. I want that thing to be fun. I want it to
I'm
be
gonna,
colorful up there. I want
I'm
our guests to have some fun.
Say something I would never say to
it's
Dan.
Fucking awesome, man.
No one's gonna want to play Spy Hunter, except Dan. He
I'll
must
probably,
be excellent
I'll,
at it.
I'll probably play some Spy Hunter.
If whoever's paying for it, they get to have.
Right. That's what
yes,
I'm saying.
Right.
He's probably great
right.
at it. Like, I used to be good at Star Castle. Do you remember Star Castle?
I don't remember Star Castle.
Star Castle, yes.
What was the video game
Star
you
Castle?
Were best at?
Dig Dug.
That's a great point. Dig Dug was it. Yeah, Rob. Best the game you were best at compared to
I don't
anybody.
Think I was
Can
ever.
I say one more thing before? We owned Donkey Kong Jr. We had a tabletop.
Oh, yeah. They called it a cocktail cabin.
And I was fucking great at that.
Where does that thing end up at?
I don't know,
landfill
man.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I don't.
Yard sale?
I don't remember.
God,
we might have sold
if
it or whatever.
If that thing's fucking mothballed, you're sitting on a couple of bucks.
No, it's definitely not.
Get Galaga. We're gonna do the classics.
I love some
in there.
The game I was best at, and this isn't going back to as a kid. This is going back into, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Was the Wii on the balance board with
Wii
the,
Fit?
It was the Wii Fit. Yeah, I don't know if you didn't need the balance board for this. Although I was good at the slalom on the
fucking Barisha.
But ball. I was good at the soccer ball would come at you. You'd have to head it, and then you'd have to duck the other things that would come at you. So you're just doing this and I was getting the
perfect score. Fucking Hope Solo.
Literally the perfect score. Then there's another level. I got the perfect score on that. Everyone else is not even getting close. I don't know what that skill is to be able to do this.
You
this,
were Megan Rapinoe at that.
I don't know how that translates to any kind of actual skill that would help you in life.
They thought that game
for whatever
reason
couldn't just.
That's weird because you're not a good dancer.
Well, it's not about the
But I figure it takes some sort of body coordination.
I can sway.
You're very good at swaying.
I can't do the music. He's not
right
to the beat.
Hey, if this is a song, how'd you do this?
I guess what game he's worst at? Dance Dance Revolution.
Yes,
just the shit.
Right.
Hey, let's take a quick break. We're gonna thank some sponsors, all of which we love, we adore, and we return on the other side. We got to get into your trip to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got a trip to some of our shows recently. Yes. You were at Vibe. I was Magoobie. Stick around. It's the DLP Agenda. Hey, it's Justin here for our friends at GRB Roofing. That's right, the roofing pros at GRB Roofing. You say to yourself, Justin, what's GRB stand for? And no one knows. Scientists, archaeologists, some of the greatest minds have studied it for centuries. And as much as we can surmise here on the DLP, it stands for GRB. Great, really beautiful. Your roof, courtesy of GRB Roofing, is going to be great. It's going to be really beautiful. You're going to be the envy of all of your neighbors when you get it done. I want you to go to grbroofing.com. That's grbroofing.com. Or give them a call at 443-699-6192. These guys are incredible. 700-plus projects beautifully completed. 65 years of collective experience. And they want to help you. Commercial, residential, there's so much that they're capable of. And they work with all the best brands to give you the roof you so desire. So get out from under that old, funky roof. It's falling apart, it's cracking, it's dripping, it's leaking, and get underneath a GRB roof. Go to grbroofing.com. That's grbroofing.com.
You're listening to the DLP Agenda.
So let's start with New Orleans. We got into it on Monday. You, Katie, Jazz Fest.
Yeah, we went to see. We went to Jazz Fest. By the way, Jazz Fest, we should all go.
It's a misnomer, by the way, yes, that when you hear Jazz Fest, I was like, okay, it sounds a little sleepy.
You have to hunt for jazz.
You got to look for jazz. When you think of the Rolling Stones, do you think jazz?
No, I mean, there is some sax in there.
Chris Stapleton, do you think jazz?
No,
I do not.
He was there. The Killers. Mm.
It
no.
sounds like just the greatest concert of
it
all time.
It sounds like
so
a
awesome.
Fucking festival. Yeah. That has some jazz elements. I saw photos. You showed me the lineup upstairs.
The
God,
lineup
what a
is incredible.
Banger.
But I'll tell you this. So the headline, Vampire Weekend, was there. Foo Fighters are going to be there.
Are they on different venues?
It's all in different. Okay. They're different stages, different days.
Okay.
When I was there, the big acts were Chris Stapleton, Jean Baptiste, Vampire Weekend, and who am I leaving out? I'm forgetting a big one. The Revivalists were there.
Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys that were there the day before I got there. Anyway, we saw Chris Stapleton and we saw the Killers. That's who we saw.
Pretty strong.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I tell you what, Chris Stapleton, he's good. I know he can sing his ass off, but the Killers.
Oh, dude,
no,
Brandon Flowers
the
and the Killers.
The Killers,
are
man, first of all, their catalog is fucking awesome.
It's deep
right?
as shit. They're
and
super
then,
talented.
Yeah, and they closed with When We Were Young and What's I Got Soul, But I'm Not a Soldier, that one, which is that song, fucking
love
masterpiece.
Yeah.
So it was great. But I'd say we spent more time in the gospel tent than anywhere else. I'm telling you, they were incredible.
No, that's some legit
they
singing.
Oh,
my
God.
God.
Into you, you feel closer to Christ?
Yeah. Yes, I don't know. Yes or no, whatever. It's really not. It's really a music thing. There are some people, I'm sure, that are very religious.
If that was what church was, I'd go more.
But they had a full band, too.
It was incredible. They have a full band. Yeah. It's about four or five pieces, and then they have all these singers, and then they have usually have one or two singers, and these people.
They just Whitney Houston.
Gosh. Oh, my God.
Did
they
you know
can,
any of the songs?
They can, I knew
doing,
none of the
doing
songs.
They're classic gospel.
They cover WAP.
They didn't cover WAP, but they're so good.
Right,
it's one of the songs you hear for the first time.
Put your hands in the air for this wonderful ass preacher.
Right.
But on the way to that, the blues tent and the gospel tent are in this area that has like this, I don't know, this 15-degree grade going down, okay?
Yeah.
And it's me, Katie, and our friend Jack, right? His wife is not there yet, so it's just us three. And I step off this, it's asphalt and then dirt, and there's this ridge that goes about, I don't know what you'd call it, like curved. Mm-hmm. And I step off this thing.
Uh-oh.
And I immediately like, okay, I'm going down. But I try to catch myself. And I go from here, and it's hard to say, but further than this air conditioning unit right here.
Yeah.
I stumble and bumble all the way down the hill thinking I can catch myself.
Like half of a basketball court that long?
Not half of a basketball
but about
court.
12, 14 feet.
About 14, yeah, about okay, 14. I sent a picture of it if you saw it. And I'm trying to catch myself, and eventually I realize, okay, I'm not going to catch myself. This is happening almost in slow motion, but there's a trash can.
If
I can make it to the trash can,
can break my fall, yes. And obviously it's going to suck, but, you know, and
You're not going to take a header onto the
asphalt. I get to the trash can. Of course, you know how many people are at Jazz Fest?
Like tens of thousands?
Yeah. Like 600,000 are going to be there
way
over
more
those
than that.
Over all those days. So is that trash can empty or full?
Well, you're hoping it's full, but the full is probably going to break the fall better.
Well, it's also a big one. It's a big plastic one. And I hit it. Knock over the trash can and I go down. Now, first thing is I'm humiliated.
Is
right?
it plastic
Obviously.
Or metal?
Now, it's plastic.
Which doesn't make as much noise, which benefits you. Yeah. And plastic also crumples like a shock Listen, pad.
The
also,
the noise
benefit.
Wasn't, it didn't matter.
But there are people watching.
No, they're not people. There are hundreds of people.
But in the close proximity, a big metal trash can, you're going to hear.
No, you're right.
It's
what I'm saying is that
yours.
Where I was, yes, you're right. If it was a metal trash can, maybe somebody across the way might have said, oh, there's a commotion. But everybody knew that anyway because everybody is there. And I'm bumbling and stumbling and I make it and I fall. And, of course, every time, what does somebody say to you?
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Right. And of course, you know, I'm...
This is a bit that I do.
Yeah. It's not the injuries, which, by the way, I was bleeding, but it was that... You're embarrassed, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, this guy shuffles over, and I described him. He looked like... Did you see Old School? Do you remember Old
Blue?
Does
he look like Blue?
He looked like Blue.
His relic.
And he goes, do you need some help? And I'm like, Christ, man.
This guy, who is one good coughing fit away from death, wants to know
right.
if you need
and
help.
And I'm embarrassed. And now I'm even more embarrassed because this guy, I'm like, I'm never going to let this guy help me up. I'm never going to do it. I'm getting up on my own no matter what.
The same week he shit his pants so many years ago. There we have a second anniversary.
Yes.
This is just a week from now on. The day you shit and the day you fell.
Then the guy behind me goes, do you need to go to the medical tent?
Oh,
and I'm like, Christ, no, I don't need to go to the medical tent. You guys need to disperse.
You need to go back to the
I'm
hotel.
Embarrassed. Can you please leave?
If a man 20 years your junior, same exact step-for-step fall, are they asking him, hey, do you need to go to the medical tent? Are you okay?
Yeah.
I guess. That's just sort of a natural
it's
thing to say.
It's not that. Maybe they would, but what I think is that somebody 20 years younger probably could have caught their feet underneath of them. Now, this actually made me feel better. First of all, there's a sign there. It says, watch your step. Did I send it to you? Did you see it?
I saw the sign.
Now, what's frustrating is that as you're walking down the hill, there's no way you can read the sign. It's perpendicular to where you're walking. You cannot read the sign.
Yeah, no one else fell.
I think he's got a case.
Well, hold on. It's funny you say that.
He's got a case.
Yes.
It's
Randolph.
Randolph, get on it.
Okay.
It's funny you say that. I'm walking by, and there's a dad and his kid. He goes, yeah, well, there's signs here, blah, blah, blah. And I go, did you fall? The kid goes, yeah, I just fell. I fist bumped him.
Hell nice. Yeah.
I met somebody else that fell.
So, young and
the
elderly.
Also 3 months old.
Yeah. He's 3 months old. he's just learning to walk.
He's got polio.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, can we discuss the footwear?
Yeah, was that bad?
The footwear was criticized by our friend Sean Gabbert. And,
I'm going to criticize it.
Accurately
well.
So. Sean wrote, I don't mean to victim blame, but flip-flops in the city. What are you thinking? Or sandals.
Well, yeah, I wasn't. Sandals. It was flip-flops, and I wasn't wearing them. I was wearing them at the festival. And I even looking back now, the next day I wore tennis shoes.
Dude,
for sure.
I cannot walk in flip flops.
I
can't fucking do that.
I
toe grip. I've never worn flip flops more than a shamble through a kitchen.
I wear I'll wear, you know this, I'll wear them all summer.
I'll wear Jordans
my feet,
to the beach.
I'd be physically, I couldn't do it.
I can't do it.
My ankles would swell.
Did I?
I can only wear flip flops on the beach and. And then at the pool, if there's
getting
out of
the pool to walk into the kitchen and then back out and take them off.
But to walk it to be. Plus, you're amongst a lot of people. There's a lot of chance of getting stepped on.
Yeah, I didn't. That
seems.
But I'm used to it,
yeah,
right?
Well, you did fall, so.
Well, that, again, I'm not saying.
Your feet are all
but
sunburned.
It is a place that people fall so often they have a sign up.
Okay,
so, I get it. I should not be falling.
But that is an area that it's so empirical, the evidence because of the sign, that they should
That's
probably
true.
Change that area.
But then in their defense, now how often I fall?
pretty often.
I do. I fall about once every 2 months.
How often do I spill this?
No,
thing?
I'm not like Robbie's girlfriend.
Every show.
Okay.
But if I step, I when I bought this house,
the one with Lou Gehrig's.
The one,
Boo Gehrig.
The one that we're in right now. There's where the garage door is. There's a little lip.
Yeah.
Right as you walk out of the garage, definitely fell there.
Definitely ate it.
100%. And now every time I'm there, I'm cognizant of the fact that because my ankles, I must have the weakest ankles.
You should have strong ankles if you're not wearing any support on your ankles. Maybe they're just so deteriorated.
I should be wearing high tops.
Your ankles are too jacked. Yeah. Now you fell down. Correct. A decline.
Yes.
Okay.
And you knocked over trash.
Have you ever fallen up anything? I have more times in my life than
stairs.
Down. I will go for a phantom step that's not there. You want to talk about a goddamn clown show. When you trip and fall down the steps or something, but when you go to make a motion for a thing that's not there and your weight distribution goes completely out the window. I've done that in my house since I've lived there coming up on 9 years. Probably 40 times. I will go for a step that's not there, not paying attention, and down goes Frazier. Bang my head into the goddamn wall.
Have you guys ever seen that girl? She's fucking hilarious. She'll fall on purpose, and somebody will be videoing
with
her.
The popcorn in the theater.
God,
she sends it. She does a pratfall. Chase is jealous.
So what she does is she buys a big thing of popcorn, and then she just purposely just throws the popcorn everywhere. Katie said that's what I look like.
It's amazing.
But you should always just have popcorn with you.
I look like I'm doing a prank.
Hey! All right, did you get that? Yeah. Did you get it? Let's get it uploaded to the TikTok followers.
What's the ratio of you falling to Katie fall?
I've never seen Katie fall. I've never seen her fall.
Katie was like a pretty elite athlete.
She's a very good athlete.
Yeah.
She made varsity basketball at her school as a freshman.
Elite's a straw.
She's a good athlete.
Okay.
She's better than Simone Biles.
Yes.
Anyway, so here's something you don't know yet, Rob.
She's our Caitlin Clark.
I also pulled another. Remember the ballet experience?
Oh, I know about that.
please refresh the audience.
Okay, please.
Quickly on the
ballet. So, real quick, I bought tickets for my wife and I to go to the ballet at the Kennedy Center. Tickets were $25 a piece. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much ballet tickets cost. I feel like that's reasonable.
Remember, we looked it up.
What are they, $150 or something?
What would something cost at the nicest venue in the world?
Yeah.
People train their whole lives to perform at. The parking was $35.
Yes.
Okay. And we go in there, and it's not a ballet.
You're dressed nicely, by the way. Yeah. You got dressed for the ballet.
That's right. I'm wearing a sports coat. I have a picture from that day.
But also wearing flip-flops.
Then flip-flops, no. No, I don't have flip-flops on.
He falls immediately.
And I didn't make it in. And they're doing a lecture on the ballet series at the Kennedy Center that year. So we stay for 5 minutes. We laugh. We leave.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
So, you know, this Jazz Fest is at a horse track.
Yeah.
And so in the grandstands, it's called, I can't remember the name, Allison Milner, I believe, the Allison Milner stage or something like that. And so we go, let's walk through there. They're playing live music downstairs. And then we look up in the glass. Jack and I go, hey. There's people up there playing. So we walk up there and we sit down in the grandstands, and there's only about 25 people there.
Okay.
And in walks these bands, and one has a clarinet, one has a drum, another guy's sitting there, another guy has a trumpet, another guy has a trombone, and a saxophone.
Okay.
So that they're all there. I'm like, huh, I wonder what this is, right? Because no one's there. Next thing you know, a white guy sits down in the middle of them.
I'm out.
Okay, we're here to interview both. What one band was called Hot 8.
Okay.
And the other band was called, of course, I start laughing.
Okay.
And they start asking these guys questions. Three of the guys, they don't speak English. They have a translator.
You showed up for an AMA. Ask me anything. Interview of jazz musicians. They're not playing.
Yes.
They're talking through Shohei Ohtani's translator
about
Zydeco music.
Yeah.
And the white rappers from our comedy shows up.
Yeah. What
the hell are you guys doing here?
The one band was from Colombia. I can't remember the name, but I just saw it on the thing. And the other one band is called Hot 8 Brass Band. Apparently they're a big band.
Okay.
Not like a big band, but like they're a well-known band. So they're asking them questions. I'm laughing, right? This thing's only 45 minutes long, so I'm like, all right, we'll endure, right?
Maybe there'll be some music at the end of this
right,
thing.
They're going to play at the end.
Okay.
So they're asking them questions, and it's a lot, right? And they're asking them questions, and
what are some of the questions they ask?
So tell us about the culture in Colombia and how it corresponds or relates to the way that your music and you bring it to people, blah, 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 that kind of stuff.
Fuck
right?
this.
And what will happen is the
I'd
one
chuck
guy.
Chuck a po' boy like a spiral.
The guy who sings, the vocalist, he doesn't understand anything that's going on. That guy asked, the translator asked the question of the guy. The guy answers the question for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And I'm like, first of all, there's no way that she's retaining all the things that he's saying, right? And then finally,
Mac writes, "Hot eight, the type of girls who DM Rob,
or that I DM." And,
hell yeah!
And thank you, Mac.
The answer that the interpreter would give was, "I'm not kidding, about 20% of what this guy said." So we're not even getting the real interview. But the Hot Eight, they're a jazz band from New Orleans, and the other ones are from Columbia. They're street musicians, okay, and they're talking about how they have this, how talk about the chemistry between them, how they just kind of get the feeling of where the direction that each other's are going because they played together.
Are there people in the audience like with their legs crossed, nodding like this is good shit?
Oh, they're like, yeah,
this is amazing. Those people are the fucking worst.
You would have known by look. I didn't need to see.
Didn't
the,
even every wax.
No, they were the worst.
I only own it on vinyl. The book's better than the movie type.
Katie's on her phone because she's fucking bored.
Yeah, of course.
And this lady walks up. And she goes, "No photography." Okay. Anyway, so I go, "No one cares." So
I'm working on a coffee table book entitled "The Most Boring Shit That's Ever Happened."
So I'm, of course, loving it. By the way, and they talk a very, very long time about. They kind of just vibe off each other, and they have this chemistry, and they have this connection, and the music brings them together, and they just kind of figure it out. I go, these guys are going to fucking play.
They're about to lay it fucking down.
And they're going
to
be good.
Hot eight is about to be a hot 10. Mm.
So
how long into this interview does somebody finally pick up an instrument?
There's 5 minutes left when they start playing.
Oh, my God. You sat through 40 minutes of this shit.
Yeah. And so
I don't make it 10.
So they... The one guy starts playing the clarinet. He's got something going.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the drum's like, boom, doo 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 doo.
Oh, so they're stacking right. it.
And you're like, oh, this is going to happen. And then next thing, the trumpet's like, and the saxophone's like, and I'm like, and I'm looking like, this sucks, right? And it fucking sucks. Okay? It's so bad. They had no chemistry. They had no connection. And all we're waiting for is the payoff of them. What they could do. And then the Colombian guy's like, make it singing.
Yeah.
Words that he's making up. It's absolute shit. Okay.
So meanwhile, there's Chris Stapleton's 50 feet.
Right. We're missing Vampire Weekend. Yeah. So then I'm like, all right, well, Hot Eight's going to start. And they start, and it's not working. And they know it. They know, like,
oh, they realize we're not sticking the landing here.
So the guy on the clarinet's like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play "When the Saints Go Marching In."
Okay, let me.
Everybody's
going to
know this song.
This is the New Orleans classic.
This is the New Orleans classic. Everybody's going to know. They're going to jump in. And he starts playing it. Hey, the trumpet. It's the same shit.
When the Joe goes marching out.
It was absolutely. I go, is this for real?
Yeah.
They really suck.
It feels like you're on a prank show.
This is bad. Is this like the clarinet version of the lady that pretends to be a sign language interpreter?
No, the clarinetist.
Know how to play.
No, the clarinetist was good. Look, I'm sure the other guys are good, but they couldn't figure out how to get in with what was going on.
I'm not sure that they were good.
Maybe they weren't.
They might not have been
good. You
know
how I know they're good? Because when I told the story, not this long a version of it, on JSS.
I pulled up a track.
And then, but also, Randolph goes, oh, no, they're good. Randolph knew them.
Can I tell you, I find value in all forms of music. Country, hip-hop, rocks. I can't fucking stand jazz.
Jazz sucks.
I can't fucking stand jazz. It's... Like, the reason I can't get into Rick and Morty are because of Rick and Morty fans. I couldn't get into Game of Thrones fans. And wrestling can sometimes be off-putting to people because of wrestling fans, me. Fucking jazz fans. I want to shove into a corn thresher.
My dad was a huge jazz
fan.
Appreciate that.
Sorry about that, bud.
Sorry for your loss. Here's what I like. Okay. You know what I like? I like verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus. That's what I like. Just play whatever the fuck you want.
Right. You like that there's a formula to music. Now, speaking of music, are we good with the Jazz Fest? Do you have more stuff? Because I have a music thing I'm going to tie into when you're done with your jazz.
No, I got some more, but we can. I'll just tell two quick stories.
Okay.
Katie and I took an Uber back from the second day of Jazz Fest. The lady driving said, oh, is this a father-daughter day? Okay. said that to Katie and I, so that happened.
Yeah.
Nice.
Look like then, I said you should have said absolutely and then lean over and started Frenching.
And
then
you should have.
Yes.
And then this might have a little bit of meat on the bone, but I'll so.
Well, if it has meat, let's fucking chew on
so,
it.
So Jack, who came with us, he gets some crawfish.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Big old seafood boil.
And this guy, we go to this little area where there's a table, and this guy walks up and goes, "Oh, how are the crayfish? There's a new vendor this year." Okay. And he goes, "Oh, they're good." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I actually did a food taste," and he's kind of selling himself that he's a big deal. The guy next to him, by the way, is flying a drone.
Okay.
The guy next to him, okay? So we're talking to this guy, and I go, "This guy's kind of, he's a little bit of a blowhard, right?
I need you to know I'm someone."
I'll also say, when I was making jokes or talking to him, he couldn't have been less interested in me. He was only interested in one person in the party.
And that's him.
That was Katie.
Oh, okay. So he thought he was hitting on your daughter.
He wasn't interested in what I had to say. Next thing you know, the police come up.
Not the band.
No.
Yeah.
No, not Stuart Copeland. And they go, "Sir, you're not allowed to fly that drone." He goes, "You need to call, you know, John Periwinkle. Tell him I'm David Foster." He goes, "Actually, here's a text from John showing that I can." He goes, "No, I need to call him." He goes, "Okay." So he comes back, and the officer comes back over after he talks to John Periwinkle and goes, "I'm so sorry, sir." He apologizes to the guy.
So you were talking to a legitimate mover or shaker type.
I don't know. That he at least
a
was
cop
telling
apologized to him
because he said
away.
Something
yeah,
to me.
That's a swinging dick.
He said something to me that made me think this guy's got to be full of shit. Because he goes, I go, "Yeah, we're excited to see the Killers." He goes, "Well, they should put on a good show as big a check as I gave them." You gave them. Oh. First of all, they didn't give him a check. Okay.
Was that a figure of speech? Like the check I wrote them, most likely a wire transfer.
They give him a check.
He was like, "What am I in his pocket? Am I making this out to the Killers or just
I
Killers?"
I swear,
or
when he said that, I literally
do I make it out to Mr. Brightside.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a chance to do it over again,
do you think that check ends up at the Neighbors?
I would have said, "Well, how much was it?"
Yeah.
I mean, this guy clearly wants to tell.
He wants to tell you, "I paid $200,000.
But it was so ridiculous that this guy's walking up and going, here's your check." Opens the green room door. He hands him a check. Here you go. But anyway, so I got to meet the guy, I guess, who runs Jack. By the way, his name was David Foster.
Not the David Foster.
But
not the David Foster that was married to Elle McPherson or what now? What's her name?
David Foster's
McPhee.
The big,
Catherine McPhee.
He's still married to her, I think.
Oh, he is?
And real quick before you wrap up Jazz Fest, our patriarch in the chat right now, Rice Murray, the Besaurus Randolph, wants to know, how was the food? Did you go to any of the places he suggested?
Yeah, the food.
It's out of this world.
The
right?
food is incredible. It is. And even this guy, I'll tell you what, there's only one thing that isn't good. Pork cracklins. Do not get pork cracklins.
Oh, you had a bad one.
No. You
it
don't
sounds
pork,
like they
it's like
do
a,
good.
It's like a pork rind, right?
It's no. It's a piece of, what do you call it? Back fat. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And they fry it, but it's still on the inside, like oil pops out of it when you eat it. I'm telling you, it is disgusting.
You're kind of fucking selling me, aren't you? I was dead ass.
Oil pops in my face.
But everything was good. They have chicken cracklins. I'd recommend those. Okay. We had everything. I had a muffaletta. I had, we had gumbo. We had beignets. We had jambalaya. We had alligator. We had everything you could there is to have.
Good food, good meat. Music, and you also bumped into a singer.
I do. Let's take a break real quick. A little tease from our latest Patreon, where your tales from Canada.
Oh, boy. There was a place, it was called Cranbrook. And Cranbrook, the hotel, was the restaurant, was the club.
Okay.
And it was called a rigger town, oil riggers. And you would, and I'll get all this on Stabby, so you would have these guys that would work in these oil fields for fucking 96 hours straight. Tweaked out of their minds.
Okay.
They're doing
what's
speed.
What's the drug?
Speed.
Speed, okay.
They would be doing speed. Not me, but they would be doing speed. They would be fucking out of their gourd. They'd work 4 or 5 months a year. It was like crab fishing. You only work 3 or 4 months a year, but you make your whole year.
Right.
Or those
and
crazy,
you're working super hard.
The work you're doing is deadly. I mean, you're in a blizzard drilling for oil in the mountains surrounded by meth heads. Then you go back to the bar, and there's a guy from fucking Washington, D.C. That wants to talk about the difference between Batman and Superman. And there was a guy in one of these shows, and I'll get to the drug shit in a second. One of these shows where he walks up to me, and I guess he knew, he was like a foreman on this, and it was me and two other comics. He goes, "You guys are the entertainers tonight, correct?" Yeah, it's me. Here's how it's going to work. You guys are going to sit down, you're going to watch hockey with us, and your first beers are on me. You say a fucking word, I'll break this bottle over your head.
The DLP Agenda.
I go to the Lodge in Annapolis. I've been there a few times.
Hey, that's there. Where Katie tried to set you up with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is the story.
And
where,
she said, why don't you date him?
Yes, great story. I was there a few months ago on a Friday night, and they had live music. It was packed. It was good vibes. I was like, this is a cool spot to be. I'm usually not home on weekends, but then I was there a month or so later on Saturday night. I remember with Pablo. I talked about where I met that girl, the bartender. Not as many people. The music, the guy wasn't as good, but whatever. So I go over there. I want to say it was Saturday night again, and it's fucking dead. I'm not there late. It's like 9:30 or something. And it's one guy on piano. There's a couple over here. Me. I know the bartender, another guy that I talked to about the caps and fucking sports betting cards. We have a little sort of a friendship. I don't know his name. There's another couple. And so the guy's playing. He's playing like Living on a Prayer, but on a piano slower. He's playing You Make My Dreams. It's all hits, you know, some Ed Sheeran song. And so I'm sort of clapping because, you know, I feel as like a guy who's done comedy in front of eight people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You
identify.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
I understand what you're going through. Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's singing pretty well.
It has got to be easier to perform music instead of comedy.
Much easier. Yes.
Right. Because.
Yeah, because you don't need a response until the end.
Exactly.
You only bomb once at the end.
And people can talk, which we'll get to in Vibe in a second. But. Then he plays Your Song by Elton John. Mm-hmm. This is a classic song.
But he does that one fast.
So he does it, and then he does my last song of the night. And, you know, when you follow Your Song, what do you want to do? Hey, here's an original.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. So he played a hit, and then he played something no one's ever heard.
And it was, I'm telling you.
Was it as good as an Elton John song?
We could write this song. Let's do right it. Now. I swear to God, we could write.
What goes on my pizza?
It's a love song, and this is basically the chorus. I'm probably 90% there. It's something like, "You don't know how beautiful you are, girl. I'll never go far. Mm-hmm. The way you make me feel, it's so unreal."
Have you ever seen the Will Ferrell?
That's the name of the song by the Unreal.
Helps Garth Brooks, a guest on SNL, write a hit song where Garth Brooks plays this pop star and he's got writer's block and he can't come up with it. And Will Ferrell appears as the devil, as if the devil went down to Georgia. And he shows up at the crossroads in this guy's living room. It's like, I'm going to give you the tastiest lick you've ever heard in exchange for your soul. He's like, yes, I want to be a star. Make me a star. He's like, all right, this is all yours. Eternal damnation for temporary stardom. I like coffee on weekend. Shit! And he can't come up with a song. It's fucking hysterical. It's one of the funniest bits of makeup you've ever seen them put Will Ferrell in.
But this guy actually took that song.
But this song.
The problem is, I have to pee.
Oh.
But I can't get up because there's five fucking people in there. And I've been the one clapping. I'm the cheerleader.
Oh, right, you hit my only fan just left.
Now I can't say... This guy, he'll kill himself. If he shows up, he does music, there's five people there, and
is it an eight-minute song?
Yes, he kept the chorus. How many different ways? Just you can just make up.
Unreal.
Yeah. You're the greatest thing I've ever seen. Yes.
You are the greatest
person
I've ever been near.
Yes, exactly. It's just so fucking bad.
Did you go up at the end and go, hey, I really liked it, but that last one.
Last one, you should probably draw a line.
But imagine following Your Song. Don't follow a shittier song.
Yeah, put it in the middle.
Exactly.
Start. Don't start with it. Yes. Don't end with it. Tuck it in the middle after you've got a little equity with the crowd.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't like that one? Here you go. Elton John. Ah, I'm back. Mm-hmm. End on a high note.
Imagine it's Michael Jordan dunking, and then you know what? Now here, I'm going to do a layup.
Michael Jordan dunking, Rob Mayer doing a layup.
Exactly.
A gentle finger roll. What do you think he got paid for that game?
I'm sure he got a flat fee. Probably didn't have anything to do with...
Because if it was a door deal, he took a bath.
I bet he got like $300 or something. That place is not going to make it.
Nothing that's ever been there has made it.
No, and they have a little outside area too, and it was nice out. And
how many different places has that thing been?
Well, or smashing grapes.
Yeah,
at one point.
Before that was it? Yeah. That was the Green Turtle was there. I don't remember it.
Speaking of places that won't make it, Vibe probably won't make it.
Oh my God! Dude.
So I did the show at Vibe, but by the way, it was last minute, and I was weird about inviting people because I didn't know. Is it going to suck? Is it going to be good? But we actually, for the people that were there, it was good.
Can I say something? It wasn't last minute.
No,
it wasn't.
Because I know the booker.
What I'm saying is I actually I checked that weekend with you, and
right.
I said you're going to be doing this. And
but
I
then
gave
when
you
I
the
don't
thing.
Hear anything, I assume
No, I got
happening.
That, right. But I'm just saying I...
Right.
But
I'm
what
not
happened,
blaming you.
No. But it did get uncomfortable for me because the guy's like, hey, what are we doing? And I go, let me loop in Rob so I don't have to do anything else, right?
Yeah.
And then I looped you in. And then he's like, hey, what are we doing? And I go, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
I had forgotten about it.
But this is why I looped in Rob. I don't want to be involved in this, right?
I made the connection. You two go forth and make the show happen.
So I'm glad it happened. I mean, was the guy happy? He probably wasn't at that point. But
He paid.
Was he even there?
He wasn't there.
I was going to say, because, you know, I was there myself probably 2 months back, and Joe also facilitated. And I had my own struggles that night. I mean, I had questions for you about this gig. Mm-hmm. Remember what happened with the audio? With mine.
Oh, yes, I do.
They wouldn't turn the song off while Tommy was on stage. It's like, can you turn the music down now? And the one guy that came up to me 15 times throughout the night asking, you want to come to rock? You want to come to jazz? You want to come up to the Killers? You want to come to an original? And then...
You want to come up to me eating wings?
And then he comes, and then he's in the back. He's eating wings. I'm like, can you please turn the music off? And, oh, shit. Instead of fading it down, he just stops. And then the seats... They couldn't have pushed them farther back.
Sean had
to
move them forward. Sean Gabbard had opened for me, and I didn't ask for a song because that felt like, what are we doing? There's 15 people here. I have a fucking song.
It's just us.
Right. So I actually, the bartender, super hot, Lindsay, and then she said the other woman, she called the other woman there the owner.
Gross name.
Right.
Really?
Yes. And, okay. And, because it's weird who the owns the place. You never figure that shit out.
There
was a manager that was on the text. First of all, they put up a face. I sent bio and headshot. They then make a Facebook event with Rob Mayer, M-A-H-R, with me at the DC Improv, with the DC Improv
yeah,
on
logo
the phone
on
from about 12 years ago. And I'm like, okay. So then I say, can you get my name right? I fix that. I don't even worry about the picture at this point. So I get there, and there were people there for a show. Jason and Kate came out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Did Kenny come out?
He did not come out. And
still pissed.
I just bring up Sean. I go up and introduce the show. I don't know. The sound guy didn't need to be there, but whatever. And so I bring him up, and there's these four people that were at the bar that were just there. I guess that's
they were
they
there
drink.
To drink.
And their reaction, because Sean was on stage, was, oh, well, now we have to talk louder.
Oh, we have to talk over this guy.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
And, like, I kept looking back, and I don't want to be the one that says something.
But is someone good?
Somebody has to.
Because then I'm going to go up there, and if they don't like me how that goes, now that's a thing.
And so, it needs to be said, too, this place, they host, they pay pretty well, but they host a free show.
Yes, it's a free show.
There's no cost to get in, so these people there that are talking don't feel like they're losing out on anything because they didn't pay to get in.
Yeah.
So there's three people at the bar next to them. They keep looking over. There's just two couples up front. They keep looking back. Everyone's looking back. So I go to the bartender because she comes over, and I go, hey, you know, can they move somewhere farther away or something? She appeared to not even realize this was happening. And I go, people keep looking back. And then she sees that happening in real time. And she's like, oh, okay. And then somebody said something. They ended up just leaving, which was fine. The thing that was happening, though, the air conditioning unit kept going off on. And it's fucking jet engine, too.
And there's no one there to
you're
like, it's jarring. So I ended up going up there. And it ended up being a fun show because there was a couple there. It was on their first date. So, of course, I'm like, hey. Way to bring her to a free show on your first
date. Really broke the bank on this first one, didn't you?
I'm Colleen and Joshua. We ended up becoming Facebook or Instagram friends. They seem really cool. But then after the show, we had some fun moments. It ended up the people that were there were cool, and everyone had a good time, and Sean did really well. And I came and I bought them a drink, and she orders a tequila and soda. This guy says Long Island iced tea.
Jesus, going at it, aren't
and
we?
I'm like,
all right.
Okay. Because first of all, that's a pretty strong.
That's a
first
drink. Yeah, that's a.
But it's also a weird drink to ask somebody to buy you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is that? Are you nervous? Because I was trying.
A
to
Long Island,
like,
I know, is powerful. Yeah. What's in it? It's rum.
Everything,
tequila,
right?
It's like 10 boozes.
Everything and a little bit of Coke. Yeah.
Just for color.
Yes.
Yeah. But
yes.
I mean, they used to call him a Mickey. Like I got slipped a Mickey because it's pure booze. You're getting trash.
But it's also not the you don't want to. let the girl on the first date know that you're a raging alcoholic.
I'm a lush. Yeah.
But it's also, or you're saying that you're cheap because you're like, oh, I'm getting a free drink. I might as well get the strongest one I can.
The $15
Which
one.
Is also probably not something you want to do on a first date. So, but I had everybody.
Did they look compatible?
They did look compatible. We planned their second date like from the stage.
Oh, that's cool.
That dry 85.
Did Jason and Kate have a good time?
They had a good time. Right. They enjoyed that part. So it ended up being fun. But
Jason and Kate came to that, but couldn't make their way to WrestleMania. Got it. Okay. We see where your culture boundaries are.
But I'm just now we follow on Instagram. I'm going to get an update. I want to know how this works.
What if they get married?
Well, I said that.
I have to be in it
because that happened to me once. There was a couple on the first date in my front row, and I fuck with them. Five years later, they come to another show. They're married.
Oh yeah, man! Yeah. Hey,
and then by the way, on stage, I said he killed her, but that's another.
Ask if you can officiate the wedding.
I should do that. Yeah,
yeah, please. We'll have Eric be a flower girl. Right. Tommy ring bearer. Bussy is the band at the reception.
Before we get to a Justin show, because I want to talk about that. Okay. It's because it was fucking amazing. A couple golf things today. So I played golf yesterday. It was amazing. Today couldn't fucking hit it worse shit. Right. I want to know what you would do in this situation.
Okay.
So, first of all, there's three of us. The one guy, he's fucking this Indian guy who's an oncologist who used to be like a fucking pro cycler. Now he just plays golf, and he's like, hey, these balls could go anywhere today. By anywhere, he means left side, right side, or center of the fairway. That's what he meant. Okay. He's just fucking amazing. All right.
Great golfer.
But so it's just, now he only played nine. So it's me and this other guy. And the 17th hole, we're in Columbia, Maryland. The left is fucking, I think it's 108. It's a busy road. And this is now 4 p.m. It's fucking cars are going back and forth. And he hits it fucking way left. And we just wait. Because, like, it's.
You wait to hear the crash.
It's not
going to
roll into. It's going to be in the air in the road. And, like, someone could die. Like, it hits their windshield. They
freak
out.
It goes through. They slide. They slam. There's no, like, netting. Nothing.
No.
Nothing. It's just.
So we're waiting.
That seems like a design flaw.
Waiting. And earlier he had hit it that far left. It hit a tree, and then it hit a house. And we're waiting. So we wait. Nothing. But then I was like, well, what if there's an accident? What do we do?
What do you do? Are you responsible?
Are you responsible?
Do you run?
Because this is it. Because we're on the 17th hole. If we then just leave, we're going to go past the people in front of us. And they're going to see that. And they'll think nothing of it, maybe. But then, after the commotion is over, someone's going to come over and talk to the golf course and say, hey. And then they're going to ask, because they'll know our tee times. They have our names. They know where we would be.
But it wasn't you.
It wasn't me. Yeah. But I'm like, if we just leave and then people start asking questions, it will come back on us.
That can't be the first person to have done that.
For you to be the first person to
that
send
has
that
happened
thing
all the time,
traffic.
Yeah.
And now, again, that seems like a bad design. You see some of those
there
outdoor,
are trees, but still, it
but
wasn't
still,
like I've hit that same bad shot too. I'm sure that
you
happens.
You see at Topgolf, they've got those like 10-story tall nets. I mean, fucking invest in that for insurance purposes.
Yeah, right.
Invest in something.
Randolph will run right out to that driver.
Randolph, is going to see to it. That driver doesn't work a day for the rest of their life because they're getting paid.
But what would you do if you hear like this car crash?
I guess I'd try to do the right thing.
I would probably run over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I were you.
I don't want to live on the lamb.
If it wasn't me, I'd run over and go, that guy hit the ball.
Yeah. Well, he jokingly said, I'm going to hit you with the club and what's her name? This figure skater you.
Tanya Harding and place the glove in your hand.
You know what you do? Nothing.
Yeah.
You just keep playing.
You just play your round.
What are you talking about?
The end? If later there's a phone call, you're like, I don't know, man.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, we've been slicing it right all day.
We're pretty good.
Left.
Lindsay's.
No, I play Titleist. That's a Taylor.
That's what I'd say. No, I'd say, was it a Titleist? And if they said no, go, I do Titleist. If they said Titleist, yes, go, well, I use TaylorMade.
We got a grandparent in the family that lives on a golf course in South Carolina. It's over 55 community. First time down there, like 2 years ago, ass end of the pandemic. And my first question, I mean, she lives on the golf course. The fairway is where this Christmas tree is, 50 feet from us. I mean, she's right there. Her backyard goes right up to the thing. And I guess she's got like these tempered windows that come with the houses that they know. Like, hey, you're going to take a dinger. You're going to take a dinger. And we're sitting there in her big sunroom. And I asked, you know, how often does a golf ball come flying into the house? She's like, the golfers on this course know this course like the back of their hand. They got these pros. Everything for them. Thwack! Right as she's talking. You hear a fucking ball ping off the siding. Well, that's been the first one in months, but I'm sure there won't be another. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't feel comfortable living on the side of a golf course. I'm like, I'm in the backyard, elderly woman gardening, working on her gardenias. I take a fucking ping to the side of the hedge. She goes down.
Tuesday, the ball rolled up on someone's house. Again, it was the other guy I was playing with. And this old woman gets out her house, and she throws it to us, and she fucking looked angry as shit.
Yeah, I'm like,
and I'm like, it did nothing. You live here.
Yeah, you live here.
You choose to live here.
We said sorry, and she's like,
I can't believe all the noise at this house next to BWI.
I wish it fucking killed you. How about that, bitch?
Clapped your right knee.
That was aggressive.
A little much.
Hey,
maybe just hurt her, not kill her.
Bring it down.
Your show, Winston and McGoobies.
Yes.
Fucking home run.
Yeah, it worked out. I was happy with it.
Great crowd. Great people out there.
Thank you to everybody that came out, by the way. A lot of people in the crowd tonight.
And Pam and
I guarantee you,
Kelsey and Jeff, thank you for the car ride home. I was drunk.
You know, I drove to Jeff's work and gave him a T-shirt the next day.
Hell of a guy.
Did you? Hell yeah. Wearing a DLP T-shirt, which many of you, by the way, bought, wore. We love them in the two-piece. They stay on during sex.
Shoemake.
We're going to be wearing a Shoemake, my man. We got a great DLP family photo. Yeah, a lot of people bought these shirts. We're going to be selling them quite a bit. Next week, Thursday, DC Improv. Saturday, we're going to be doing Winchester.
Yeah, May 9th and 11th.
DieLaughingProductions.com. They're going to be doing our The Answer's Murder. Mm-hmm. We're going to get some other stuff on the book soon. We just heard from Ramshead on stage in Annapolis. But yeah, the shirts sold like gangbusters. Show went great.
You have to be happy with
it. Let's talk about the show.
Yeah.
You recorded
so
it, right?
So let me ask you questions about it.
Yeah, please.
So, the beginning, what you did at the beginning, where you walked through the crowd and started addressing, are you going to do that during the special?
Yeah, it's going to be in the
special. Okay, so that's it. Did you decide to do that after you did that there, or is that something you had planned on doing already?
I did that a few months ago at a show on a whim, and it worked out.
Yeah,
and
no,
then I did another one with Eric at that show in Del Mar, Virginia, where I think he was texting you guys. He's like, Justin hasn't gotten on stage once yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't used the mic. And I was like, the crowd's basically vibe-sized. If I get up here and start doing just written material, they're going to be like, what are you doing? You sound like you're reciting shit. Let me go around to everybody, interact. And then at some point, I have to get on stage and begin.
No, that was great. And if you're going to do that, I've never seen that in a special.
Right. Yeah.
Never seen it. So that'll be something that's cool. Is there anything, because
our videographer was there, by the way.
Yeah,
Ryan's got the whole thing mapped out.
So I saw, and I'm like, these bits, what are you going to take out? They're all working.
Some are going to be massaged.
Right.
Some are. I thought I was going to get a little bit more reaction. I chuckled in the car when I wrote it months ago when I think I referenced Eric and Tommy Bussy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, the asshole is the vagina of the butt, and not a lot. And I was like, I thought I was going to get a little bit more of a knee slap. But I mean, there's stuff that needs to be tightened up.
Maybe, if that was it, if what you did Wednesday was the special,
I heard a fucking laugh from you, and Ariel, this might be what you're referencing. I made a Life Goes On reference. I think that might have popped just you, starring Corky.
Yeah,
No, there was a lot of it. I mean, a lot, but not all was new. I mean, most of it.
I wasn't familiar.
Can
with
I say
it,
this? Yeah. There is one bit I remember from the comedy doc about the little people.
Yes.
I remember that.
I brought that.
And I remember
back
you
to
trying to make that work, and it didn't get where you wanted it to get, and then it did.
Yeah.
It worked. Now you added that new beginning to try to get into it. And I think that's you didn't have that before,
no,
right?
No, I didn't. No, so this was a new, that was actually for the most part true, slightly exaggerated stories, but
the segue that got you there, that was a much more, I guess, natural. I don't remember it. I remember the joke at the
whole thing's recorded. Speaking of, by the way, as of tonight, FPX, we're going to do some stuff at FPX, JSS. There's going to be a new Uncensored. It's probably going to be a Halloween themed thing, so get your costumes ready. But it is most likely at this point looking to either be Wrecker Theater in Towson or Ramshead on stage. I want to do McGoobies, and I love McGoobies. It's our home club. That gigantic sign behind me,
I understand
would be
what you're
visually
saying.
Distracting.
Okay.
And I love Andrew, and I'd love to do it there. And we might talk about it. I feel insulting
even
asking,
like,
can we curtain it? Can I cover your baby?
I'll bet you he would be fine with that. You could also make a joke about it off of the,
I think it's fine.
I might need to. I want to. Just remember, too soon for some things. Pam, what are you referring to? Too soon for some things. I'm not sure. Was it the reference to the bridge?
I can't remember. I might have made a dollar.
I'll say this too. Yeah.
The photos Katie took of Evan's jiu-jitsu.
No, by the way, did you they were cracking up, by the way, but she happened to get them when they were like giving like looks of disgust.
Looks of pure to make
you. No, I guarantee you heard from them, and I guarantee you they had a great time.
They said they had a great night out. Yeah. They were joking, haha, when Evan comes to hang out, he has to hang out over at our house now. He's not allowed over there. Yes, the Dolly comment. Okay, well, duly noted. Cutting the Dolly comment.
So we sat in my son's section.
Yeah.
My son waited on us, right? So I was kind of excited because it was the first time that I got a chance to, you know, I mean, he was at work and I'm there and so forth.
That's right. He was working. He was seating people.
Yeah. And he was my, and he was our waiter.
Serving us.
And he was our server. And then my food didn't come.
Oh, shit. Leave him a shit tip.
And everybody got, now somebody else brings out the food and now it's awkward. Because I don't want to be the guy to be like, where's my food? But I don't know if everybody's food comes out at the same time.
Dude, I busted into existence. Yeah. Where's my chicken Caesar wrap?
It's like, Daddy, been putting on some pounds.
It was awkward, which he's right about.
You don't need the fries.
But here's what happened. I waited and waited, and everybody at our table finished their food.
And before it was you got so yours. Good that night.
And
it
never came. And so I walked up to him, and I go, hey, man.
Do you know
this is kind of awkward.
Do you know what might have made it a little late? You guys don't know about this. So in the back, this is food related to Magoobies. So in the back, show's over, big adrenaline dump, and I'm in the back and I'm waiting to get paid. And Andrew, who I would walk in front of a car for, he can get distracted easy.
Oh yeah.
Andrew,
what are you talking about?
He can veer off, and he'll even tell you, he's got a little bit of the ADHD going on. So I'm back there and we're always having our pleasantries. I love talking to him, but it is a school night and I need to get paid.
Yeah.
To
oh,
get
yeah.
out. And a woman who we also love there, she's a manager, Sydney, comes in and goes, I want you to try this, and hands him this beautiful, brand new, handcrafted Greek feta strawberry sun-dried tomato burger. And these two start having like a fucking Food Network show.
And you're
and
like,
I'm like, please fucking pay me.
I have to wake up in an hour.
And I'm dying. I'm having trouble staying awake. And they're having me take a bite of it. By the way, it was incredible.
Okay.
If this burger makes it the menu, it's worth $50. But I'm wondering if they were in the back, like handcrafting, like putting the baby greens on with the tongs and positioning the strawberries. Meanwhile, your chicken tenders are under a heat lamp, just getting fried to fuck. But yeah, the night was great. Everybody came out. I appreciate the sentiments. I got a lot of nice noise about it. Nice comments in the social media.
It was a good time. It was a good DLP meetup as well.
Yeah, it was good seeing the entire DLP family there. Thank you for all the kind / weird words about last week's Patreon. I didn't mean for that to turn into a weird one-upsmanship or, hey, that's how you do it. This is how I do it. Didn't want to get into that
no,
much.
No, it's all good. Ariel says, so proud of you. Kelsey said it was great. Everyone's a
thank you, love.
Sharon Bailey was there. Randolph was there. It was great.
It was awesome. I really couldn't have asked for a better crowd. Yeah. It's recorded. It's ready to go. And it's at this point probably going to be still Thanksgiving weekend to get the thing down. I'll be the first to tell you guys. I got a bunch of dates with Ryan Sickler. On the books.
Nice.
He's from the Honeydew podcast. He's from Maryland guy. He's also from the Wayback. He's going to be working a bunch of dates in accordance with the Ravens and their away game schedule.
Oh.
So he's reached out, and him and I are going to do some stuff on the East Coast. It's going to be Central Time, Eastern Time stuff. And tickets go on sale, I believe, tomorrow for Nick Mullins' Lincoln Theater show that I'm at with him. So the favors were cashed in, and the favors worked out.
My man
is
doing it.
We're going to fucking flesh this
doing
thing out.
Doing it big time.
So you saw it last Wednesday. You saw about 60% of how I'd like it to go. And
but if you came on Wednesday, come to the taping of the special.
Oh, please.
Yes. Support what we
please,
do.
Please, 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 please. And continue to support by following DLP Agenda on YouTube. Like, comment, share. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram. If you're not a Patreon member yet, we implore you. New Dork Dynasty is going to be out before the end of the week, if not this weekend.
Yep.
Video game talk. I'm trying
Eric
to think if I'm missing
and,
anything.
Eric and Tommy are supposed to be recording a new, what's it called?
Story time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Wednesday
night,
so that should be good. You're with Umar on May 2nd. So
this Thursday, as we record this here on the last day of April, see me in 2 days. And depending on when you listen to this, if you still have time, again, next week, May 9th, DC Improv, May 11th, Winchester at the Bright Box. And next week, we'll talk to you again soon.
See ya.